you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello and welcome to The Thing About Cars. I'm one of your hosts, Mickey Tsai. Around the table, we've got our stalwart crew. Dave, how are you?
Feeling stalwart.
Stalwart? Misty, what's going on in the Netherlands?
It's not raining. I'm so happy.
And Ben, sir, how is it going?
Isn't stalwart a little town in Denmark?
It probably isn't. Those Maybe Danes. Right. Just crazy Danes. So this is the first recording we've had in a while since the inadvertent hiatus began back in November. And I can't tell you how happy I am to see you guys again. So this is making my weekend right here.
Inadvertent hiatus is so much nicer than saying Missy's out on parole.
I don't even know what to say to that, man. I'm just...
Caught you completely by surprise. So Ben,
I am speechless for like the first time ever.
So before we get to Ben, because Ben has had some interesting stories to share here, but Misty, before the recording, we were talking about roses and birthday cake. What is that? Is that a Southern thing?
Well, it's like the Southern man, you know, mantra, you know, instead of Om Shanti Shanti Om, you're like, roses, breathe in, smell the roses, birthday cake, blow out the candles, blow out all the crap, roses, birthday cake, roses, birthday cake.
That's a new one on me. I mean, I'm not a native Southerner, but I've lived here most of my life. I've never heard that.
Yeah, well, that's just because you haven't had the, you know...
You haven't had the right upbringing, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was about to say, you just haven't had, you know, you haven't had the extraordinary privilege of growing up around me most of your life.
Dave is either having a stroke or finding enlightenment.
I'm trying to find enlightenment. I've just cascaded past roses and birthday cake to vodka election year. Vodka election year. It's not working.
Do you smell toast, man?
Oh my God, it's worse. I smell cinnamon rolls.
Oh my God.
Well, I did used to work with a guy who always said nitrogen and stupidity.
And what?
Well, and finally one day, it's usually when somebody else mentioned that nitrogen. Makes and sense. So one day I asked him what that was about, and he said, "Oh, they were the two things that'll always get you."
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, that makes perfect sense, man.
Nitrogen and stupidity. Because nitrogen...
you can't fix stupidity, not even with duct tape.
All right. So
or
let's,
a hammer.
Let's steer this thing. It's my fault, but let's steer this thing back towards the world of cars. We don't have Grand Trivia Auto for today. You guys are awesome. You guys can't see the recording, but everyone's Misty and Dave are like pantomiming the steering wheel. Anyway, I love you.
And truthfully, what's not to love? We're adorable.
It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. Ben, let's start from the beginning. Ben, I'm not going to steal your thunder. What happened?
Okay, well, during our long hiatus, and I'm not sure if we were up to Misty's arraignment or actual sentencing yet by then, but... Sorry, it was late December, and
back in 63.
Right. Anyway, late December, I went down into the city. I live out in the Atlanta burbs. Went down into the city to have lunch with a friend of mine, and on the way home from lunch, I was maybe 5 minutes from the restaurant when I got involved in one of those multi-car rear end chain collision or chain reaction collisions. Yep. You know, on a two-lane street, somebody was stopped to make a left. A whole line of us were, you know, stopped behind that person, and everything is just nice in the world. I'm listening to the radio, and I just feel this bump, and then I see my car's bonnet, you know, rising and deforming in front of me, and the first thing that came through my head and my mouth was, no! Because I really, you know, I really liked that poor little Mazda, and as everybody knows, we're recording this in February of 2022. Right now, the car market, new and used, is pretty messed up.
Yes, it is.
It's not a good time to be in the market. So, yeah. And plus, just knowing what a pain in the ass dealing with a wrecked car is.
Yeah.
So everything, all that was playing on me. And
if memory serves, you had just put new tires on it, and the insurance company told you what?
Well, less than 100 miles before this happened, I put new tires on it.
Wow.
And the insurance company was a little bit kind of hemming and hawing about it, but they did eventually adjust the settlement to cover that.
Yeah.
So good on them. But yeah, I sure was, miffed.
I just want to say that their attitude adjustment is probably directly responsible for my indictment and arraignment.
There you go.
I love you, Ben.
Hey, I love you too. Just a messed up scene. I get out of the car and start looking around, concerned about the other motorists, of course. Nobody seemed to be terribly injured. Everybody was able to get out of their car and walk around. At the back of the line was it was a Ford Expedition.
Ooh.
Expedition or Excursion? It was an Expedition. A Ford Expedition. Then a Mazda 3 hatchback, the slightly earlier version than mine. Mine was a 13. The one behind me was like a 2008 or 9 or something. It's the same body, but before the refresh. And then in front of me was a Toyota Highlander. And the guy in the Expedition said that he had been hit by this white pickup truck that zoomed around the rest of us. And hard to say. There were no broken shards of anything behind him, but his bumper did have some damage on it. But that said, about 10 minutes later, he got on his phone and then wandered away from the scene and wasn't seen again by any of us.
Oh, good grief.
Right. The woman in the Mazda behind me did ask for an ambulance, so I called one for her. She did walk to it. I don't know if she went to the hospital or not. As I finally went home at the end of the whole thing, she was kind of debating with the paramedics about whether or not to go to the hospital because, long ER waits and ERs jammed with COVID and all that jazz. But I know she was okay because I heard from her attorney a few weeks later who just wanted to know, my take on things. I think they were maybe trying to pursue the perpetrator or something. I don't know. I haven't heard anything since. Mm-hmm. But no, everybody was pretty much okay. Fire department showed up, cops showed up, everybody's information gets taken, the standard stuff.
Instead of a white dog, it was a white truck.
Yeah, looks like a full size Chevy.
A Ford owner blaming it on a Chevy owner. This is my surprise face. See my surprise face.
That said, a white full size pickup with bumper damage is not exactly as individual as a fingerprint in any big city. So,
but Ben, did you see a white Ford pickup truck zooming around?
Well, I couldn't tell if it was a Ford or a Chevy. The guy in the Ford thought it was a Chevy. I didn't really notice because I wasn't looking for anything at that moment. But some white truck did go past on the left.
I see. Okay.
After the whole thing happened, yeah. Whether that guy really caused it or was just impatiently going around the problem, I don't know.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so, big pain in the butt. Luckily, I'm in a multi-car household, so not that big a problem getting around, but those Monday morning early trips to the airport, I think we're wearing thin on my dear wife after a little bit. So
yeah, no doubt.
And my heart goes out to her for that. I'm grateful for the help. But after quite a bit of searching and with the insurance company, it was a little funny too. It took several weeks to get the settlement because I couldn't find my Mazda's title. I tore the house up and couldn't find it anywhere, so I had to order a replacement copy. That took a couple of weeks, but yeah. So get the money from the insurance company. I've spent a while car shopping, and yeah, prices are just nuts right now. Used cars are going for, at least late model, low mileage stuff is going for within spitting distance of new stuff. It's just not a nice situation, but it is what it is. There are some takeaways from this I can come back to in a bit. But looking at it, I had a 2013 Mazda 3 hatchback, which to me was about the perfect car. It could haul stuff. It had enough room for me. It was no screaming performer, but it handled nicely. It did what it did. It was fun to drive. you know, good little car. And the it was the last year of its generation of the three. Subsequent generations have evolved in ways that I'm not as fond of. They became less cargo practical. That's, you know, the big thing that I don't like as much. Also, this this Kodo design language they've been doing since 2014 on the three and close in that time frame on the other models, I'm not super crazy about. And one reason is because one of the themes of the design of these cars is a really long front end. And this is at the expense of space everywhere else.
Why do they need a long front end? Because the engines in those things have not gotten bigger.
No, it's a transverse front wheel drive. You can package it in a much shorter snout than they do, but that's the style they're running with right now. And in a lot of reviews, you'll find criticism over, you know, rear seat legroom and cargo space being sacrificed in a lot of late model Mazdas.
Weird.
But I decided I still wanted a Mazda. They're number one in reliability in the U.S. market right now. And they just make very good stuff. But the current three was not really going to do it for me, and I didn't want to stick with something as old as what I already had. So I start looking and thinking about it, and well, okay, like all the manufacturers, they're trying to push us into the SUV and crossover market. I think that's why the three has become less utilitarian. And like it or not, that's the reality. So, because I'm not the biggest SUV or crossover fan, but I've driven enough as business rentals. I'm familiar with them. They'll do the job. Not all of them are bad to drive. They've certainly come a long way in 30 years. So I said, okay, that leaves basically the CX-30 or the CX-5. I certainly don't need the 9. It's the big three-row model. And I looked at those, even drove a 30 for a few days on one of my business trips and ruled it out. It's got some issues with me. It's the one model I think they really got wrong lately. Mazda is a great company, but I think they really got it wrong with the CX-30.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a matter of ergonomics and packaging and some body design things. Yeah. The footprint of the car is great. It's about the same size, length, and width as my old three, but it's a little taller. It drives really nice. It it handles well, good power. But the way the body's put together, two-door cars are now anathema in the U.S. market for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
And one of the problems with this is that the front doors become shorter because you have rear doors behind them. And so the door is kind of small on the 30. Getting in and out, not too difficult because of the height, but the door could be a little bit longer, but also the B-pillar then was so far up on my side that it was in my peripheral vision. You know, it was actually in front of the line that my face would make across the car if you drew one, even with it. Also, the windowsill is very, very high, and the blind spots are pretty bad. So, yeah, and the cup holder is so far up forward that it's almost underneath the dashboard.
You're saying they actually made it for me?
Maybe so. That's exactly what I was thinking, because Ben is three Misties tall.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, that actually sounds like when Misty could actually fit in and still haul a Ben.
So if a really small person, if a really small person has their seat jacked up to where their head is within 2 inches of the ceiling, and of course the seat really far forward, it'll feel just fine for them.
Right. Okay, my next question is, how did you know how I drove the CX-5 when you're in Atlanta and I'm in the Netherlands? That's what I would like to know.
Wait, what?
How did you know how I drove the CX-5?
You mean as far as that seat adjustment and everything?
Yeah.
Well, lucky guess. I mean, I was still talking about the 30, so I don't know. Uh-huh.
Ben is very, very empathic. He has this remote international feeling. He can sense disturbances in the force from galaxies away.
But almost every small statured person has the seat forward and the seat high. So, yeah. I said almost every.
All right. But I'm wondering though, because you were saying with the really long front end, if that didn't actually start in 2016 with the MX-5.
Maybe.
Because the front line on that thing is huge. I had a real hard time going from the Hyundai i10, which isn't sold in the United States and has, you know, like the front end of a bicycle to this, you know, to the MX-5, which is like, you know, she's got like hood space for miles and miles.
Well, they started the big Kodo snout on the 3 in 14, so I don't know. But yeah, so the 30 was out of the question. So, okay, what about the 5?
Let me interrupt, Ben.
Yeah.
In short, how many cars did you test drive before you settled on the thing that you got?
Not that many.
Okay. And this may be more than we want to get into, but how long did it take you to find it?
To make the decision on what, or to find the individual one?
To make the decision on what?
Not very long.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought maybe you had gone through some arduous steps or something to selections process with a rubric and all that. No?
No, not really, because I was kind of leaning toward Mazda anyway. And when I looked at the models, it looked pretty good. I, you know, looked at other things that were in, you know, the competitive space with them and didn't like that much of what I saw in the competitors. So yeah, it didn't take very long.
Okay.
I mean, they're all good cars. There are hardly any bad cars, or nothing truly bad as seems to be made these days.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, but it's just a matter of what suits you as an individual. That's a good kind of a good world to be in when that's your biggest worry in your car shopping. So yeah, so decided on the 5. Drove a couple, you know, kicked some tires, thought, yeah, it's pretty decent. It handles better than most things in its, you know, class and competitive niche, you know, do. And so then it was just a matter of finding the right deal, you know.
Yep, exactly. Well, I'm glad you found it. And what's in your garage now?
So, yeah, I picked up a 2019 CX-5 Grand Touring, which is one of the higher but not top trim levels. And it was very gently used. It was a lease return vehicle, had 30,000 miles on it, and it was first registered in February of 19. So it averaged right at 10,000 miles a year. Still looks new, barely any, you know, visible wear on it. The whoever had it, you kept it in very, very good condition.
What engine is in it?
It's a 2.54.
Okay.
And that's what's in every CX-5 and CX-30 right now. Even if you get the turbos, it's the same engine, just with a turbocharger stuck on it. This one is not the turbo. And this is an engine that's been around for a long time. It's very well proven, has an excellent, excellent track record of reliability. It's one of the more bulletproof engines in the market these days.
So no shortage of knowledge and parts for that thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I mentioned the Grand Touring trim level. It also has the GT Premium package, which includes, yeah, some nice bells and whistles. It has things like a heads-up display and heated rear seats. Not that I ever have a rear seat passenger, hardly, but the front seats are both heated and vented.
Well, the rear seats are meant for other things too, Ben.
Yes, but not things that necessarily need heating or even have butts to heat.
We're not on the same page here, man.
Ben has just missed that. He missed that exit, and that lovely Mazda navigation system is sitting there going, at the first possible moment, please make a U-turn.
No, I got it now. Maybe Jen and I will have to rediscover going to the drive-in. But... And as for that nav system, I did try it on the way home from the dealer yesterday, and overall, I'd say using Waze is a little bit easier, but
I can tell you that mine is like, oh, let's take the scenic route, and I'm like, is this a road or a bicycle path? I'm not exactly sure, because it's like 2 feet wide.
Right. Well, the main differentiation I would make there is that as far as which is easier, is that Waze is a lot easier to enter your address into.
Yeah,
the system in the Mazda, you've got all these different little fields. What street number, what city, you know, whereas the Waze, you could just kind of type it as you would read it on an envelope. And
what country?
It. Yeah.
I was like, where were you going? What country are we going to today? I don't know.
That said, the heads up display in the car will show you the turns and how far to them and the name of the street you turn on, which is nice.
And now I am missing that CX-5 like nobody's business. I'm still mad about that.
Oh yeah. What happened? Refresh my memory.
My husband just went out the front door one day. Now keep in mind, we park like literally
right in the
front door. Yeah. And it was just gone. And apparently that is one of the most popular cars. Cause I think the same week ours got jacked there was at least one other in our town that also got stolen. And apparently, because my husband made the mistake of keeping his keys in his jacket, which is hung on the coat rack, like right inside the front door. And they're just literally going by with cloners. And that is one of the most popular cars in Europe right now that's being stolen.
Yep, I tell people with the keyless key fob thing to put them in a little, what's the word of that, Faraday box or something, you know, and keep them isolated from electromagnetic spying. And you got to do it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he and my husband's still in that stupid Nissan squishy squash thing. I hate that car. I hate it.
Roses and birthday cakes, Misty.
Yeah.
And roses and birthday cakes, and an apology to the Nissan chief marketing officer who may be listening to this podcast.
Who the hell names a car Quashkai? No. Wrong.
Well, is that something we don't get over here, or just a different name?
I don't know. I mean, it was like the Nissan Juke. Why would you name a car a Juke? You're just asking to be made fun of.
Well, you know, as long as we're...
Go ahead, Ben.
As long as we're dumping on Nissan here, I have one big issue with the Juke, and it's been around for some years now, since before the big recession, if I remember correctly. And that's it's the looks of the thing. And I understand it's fun to drive, but... The Juke to me looks like it was designed by one of the old Soviet design bureaus.
Yes.
It is not fun to drive.
I'm
saying that, especially if you're trying to get more than two people in any amount of luggage, you know, from here to Italy.
Yeah, I haven't driven it, and I certainly wouldn't know if there's any differences with the European version, but I've heard people over here say they enjoy driving it, but they're probably, you know, Americans who are in it by themselves and just driving to work and zipping through the lights and corners.
You know, I'm looking at the Nissan Netherlands site. It's called the Nieuwe Qashqai. Is that right?
Qashqai
or something. I cannot tell what the American equivalent is from this website, but... There may just be an
Squishy Sheer Sauce is its name. Its name is
the only thing you can say about Nissan's marketing is I actually suspect they have edibles in their break room.
Yeah.
And I have always thought that the Juke was kind of questionable. When they came out with the Nissan Cube, I really want to know who said, you know, who in their design department said, you know what, I bet there's a market for a car that looks like a washing machine.
That's funny you should mention that, because you remember the Nissan Quest, that van?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought that one really looked like a kitchen appliance, like some kind of like countertop rice cooker or something.
But so here's my formal invitation to the people of Nissan. We would love to have you guys on the show as a guest to talk about what's going on with Nissan and to put things in the right light for 2022 and 2023 and et cetera, et cetera. We would love to meet you and learn about the philosophy behind what's going on. So please contact us, thethingaboutcars.com, or find us on Facebook and let us know how to find these people.
We don't hate you, and we know that you're doing some design refreshes and some corporate reorganizing and things like that. So, you know, we may joke about some of your products, but hey, it's all fair game. We joke about everybody.
It's true.
Oh, look, I'm seeing a text message from Nissan saying too late, Ben.
Too late.
Too late, Ben.
I mean, you know, I don't dislike Nissan.
I have one. Yeah, all other cars are rogue. It's a great car.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, the Questacheer sauce and the Juke are just absolutely, they might look pretty on the outside from like 2 kilometers away.
Well, am I remembering correctly that recently a bunch of American Nissan executives or maybe it was dealership people went over to Japan to complain about what was happening with Nissan? And they weren't, you know, Nissan wasn't producing models that were selling well in the American market. Am I remembering that right? Or was it another company?
I don't know, but it's certainly plausible. I have heard a lot of talk about, you know, about them not doing well in this market lately.
Yeah. So here's my next thing. Now that we've talked about Ben's replacement and all that, we're hearing about all these supply side difficulties, right? The deficiencies that are happening. People aren't being able to get their cars. But everywhere I look these days, someone's driving a new car. And am I just imagining that, or am I just tuning into the few new cars that are out there, and that's therefore I notice them? Have you guys noticed any of this?
The only one I've noticed is everyone in Virginia Highlands has bought a Tesla.
I think everybody in Decatur has too, because a guy I used to go to school with lives in Decatur. And bravest man I know, because he's married to a divorce lawyer. I'm like, dude, you're brave. And he just bought a Tesla, and I'm like, why would you do that?
Well, they are the latest fashion in urban liberal smugness.
Okay. My husband just sent me this little nugget of information. The Nissan Qashqai.
Qashqai.
Qashqai, Q-A-S-H-Q-A-I, derives its name from a semi-nomadic Iranian tribe. They're renowned for their brave warriors and their beautiful textiles. Nissan chose the name because the automaker believed that drivers would embrace the nomadic adventurous spirit. And sure, you can do that as long as you don't feel like taking any luggage with you.
Sounds like they're kind of taking a page out of VW's playbook there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I am more taken by the fact that they're known for bravery and textiles.
Yes. Well, my immediate thought was, there's the reason why you don't hear this name in the U.S. because everyone else in the U.S. is going to stop at the word Iranian. And yeah.
Well, and how many of us looked up to find out what a Tiguan or a Touareg or a Qashqai is?
Well, I know what a Touareg is. That's a nomadic desert tribe. But the problem with that one is, if you take it to the UK, then everyone's like, why are you driving a Touareg? Which is like a deadly insult in the UK.
But most of us here in the US, all we know and all we care about is other giving us cars with funny names.
Yes.
Well, how many of you also knew that a Scirocco was a wind?
I did, but yeah. Most don't.
Okay, we're geeks. Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, and yeah, representing the smug urban elite member of the cast, you know, it's like I look up other things like this.
Yes, exactly.
My dad, you know, he knew what a Scirocco was in a, you know, in the historical sense, but as it applied to the combination of the name and the styling of the first generation Scirocco made him think Rococo.
Rococo.
Yeah, that's the Rococo Scirocco. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to wrap the episode a little bit early today. Ben, you've gone through the process. I know it wasn't an arduous one for you. I know you didn't have any major aha moments as a result of shopping, but as a person who's been shopping in the current car market, what advice would you have for people who might be doing the same thing right now?
Be prepared to pay. That's the big thing. It's prices are up, and also since supply is a little short, if there's a car, maybe if you're looking at the Edmunds or Auto Trader ads or something online, if you're looking at stuff at dealers, if it's something that you think you want, don't be too slow, because they're going quickly.
Uh-huh.
There were some that I looked at, just popped up today. I go there this afternoon and, there's already a credit application on it.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Well, these are those times.
It sounds like housing in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let's hope the market stabilizes and supply fixes itself before the end of the year. I say that very hopefully.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but other than that, the process is pretty much the same. You still get a lot of that, what do I have to do to get you in a car today? Bullshit, so.
Right. Are we going to have to bleep that out? Am I allowed to keep that in the recording?
Your discretion.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that serious. It's not like he dropped an F-bomb.
Right. I don't know where the line on explicit exists.
I think fecal references are like borderline, but sure. Since this was bovine fecal references.
It's a very common expression.
Yeah, it's a very common expression.
The thing about cars, would like to apologize to all bovine Americans.
All right, very cool.
Cowboys will tell you it's the smell of money.
It's true. So next time we get together, we will have Grand Trivia Auto back in play, and maybe we can get Tim to come join us at the mic to deliver some of it. What else? What else should we try to do for next week?
I don't know, but who and all wants to come over for the last week of June to go to MotoGP in Asa?
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's June 26th, and right now, 3-day tickets for the top row stadium are 181 euros.
For those of you who are curious about MotoGP, I haven't followed it in many years, but I can recommend a really good documentary film that is approaching 20 years old now. But back in 2004, that season was covered, 2004 and a little bit of 2005 was covered by a film called Faster that is really good. And the film really shows a lot of the, what were the two guys' names? Rossi and Biaggi, the rivalry between the two of them.
Vale Rossi.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just retired last year.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the two of them. It was a lot of the kind of, you know, adjoining stuff too. Like there was a segment that looked at the nutty old Italian doctor who, you know, was at every race watching over the riders. And you know, it was this really neat little film. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, sounds like it. I'll look that up. And just FYI, MotoGP does actually start next weekend.
Thanks, you guys. And thanks to our listeners. As always, we have missed you a great deal and hope everybody out there is still staying safe and warm as it is still winter. If you have any ideas for future shows, please drop us a line and let us know who we should be talking to or what we should be talking about. Find us at thethingaboutcars.com or on Facebook. Just search for The Thing About Cars. In the meantime, take care. We'll see you with another episode in about a week. See ya.
Later on.
Bye, y'all.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.